Hello, dumplings. Welcome to the Let's Get Ugly podcast, where we dive deep into the latest beauty, wellness, and lifestyle secrets that aren't always pretty, but always real.
We're your co-hosts, Trishna and Disha.
The sister duo keeping it 100% authentic, and we will get sassy at times and silly too.
That's right. We're going to be chatting with some amazing industry insiders and getting to know all about their little ugly truths.
We're here to change misconceptions around the lifestyle industries and cut through the BS that we often hear.
So come join us, grab your favorite drink, let's get comfy, and let's get started. Today we have an amazing guest with us. We have Elixir Nahar, marketing lead at an online dating app.
We'll be talking about modern dating woes as well as the hottest marketing trends, and we're so excited to get talking to her about it. So let's get into it.
Oh God, hottest marketing trends. You guys have really put me on the spot. Let's see.
Love it. So Elixir, how did you find yourself working in the online dating space?
It was a really interesting accident, to be honest. The company I work for, they launch in new markets through like a guerrilla ambassador kind of marketing program, like a community-based program. So when they were launching in India, I was sort of like recruited. They look at, I guess, key opinion leaders in cities and in particular regions. So I was like recruited to be like that ambassador for Bangalore and for the south of India. And then one thing led to another. And then 6 months later, I'm working for them full time as one of their first employees in India. And it's just been such an interesting journey since.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing. And also that you were an ambassador for them in Bangalore at first before coming on board. It's so exciting.
Yeah, you learn a lot about like guerrilla marketing and just like trying to target like the 18 to 22 community and like college going communities and stuff. So I learned a lot for sure before I eventually started working full time.
So tell us, what does guerrilla marketing in dating look like?
Guerrilla marketing in dating, wow, no one's ever asked me that question. I love that. It looks like a lot of showing up in smaller communities, so college campuses, working with, I want to say like the trendy, cool kids in particular like campuses or like subsects, and working with them to give them the resources to bring our brand to life within their space. So that could be through like fly posting, to like bar tabs, to like sponsorships of smaller events, you know, ones that like a larger brand might not have access to. So they end up being that channel of identifying these opportunity areas to bring the brand to life for the first time and create like a community around that. So that's how we started in India. I was doing a bit of that, and then I was leading a bit of that, and then I hope that gives you a like an idea of what guerrilla.
It definitely does. I mean, it's very interesting and it's quite different. Coming from growing up in Hong Kong to now living in the UK, I feel like there is a very different take on dating anywhere and everywhere.
Of course, yeah.
But having said that, growing up in Indian heritage, we have seen so many arranged marriages around us. And I'm sure you have as well. It's not necessarily alien, and younger generations still definitely partake in this. And so, of course, now there has been a shift. You know, we are seeing people trying to find love and looking for love, and dating apps seem to be the go-to. So I guess what I'm asking is, how do you feel about dating apps driving this cultural shift?
It's so interesting. So I think this cultural shift, there's two parts to it. One is the cultural shift started happening back in 2018 when like apps were always in play, but there were a few of them that you could only access if you downloaded it when you were abroad, and they weren't really like big in India. They hadn't had an official launch yet, I would say. So in 2018 is when apps kind of officially became more, I don't want to say household because they were not householders yet, but just became a little bit more widely known amongst the audiences of 22 to 35. So that's when that started, and it became a little bit more commonplace. But the second part to that, I would say, happened during COVID. when everyone was stuck at home. And so we're still talking about March 2020 here, so March 2020 onwards. So when everyone was stuck at home, a huge shift that we noticed is, of course, the spike in usage of dating apps. Like, the graph literally went all the way up, and you realize, and we had and heard from a lot of success stories, that parental units and family figures were actually instrumental, and they were almost catalysts in kind of prompting these people to go out and find new ways to meet like people online, because there was no other option, right? So when you kind of see like loneliness happening, I guess, in your own like household, it helped. It started that shift into getting that generation a bit more acclimatized to the use of dating apps. And then that domino effect continued on. So when, I want to say, like, an older generation started seeing the success and started attending weddings of like people who had met on a dating app, you slowly become a little bit more comfortable with the idea yourself. And then when you see like your, like, their peers around it, like, being more accepting of it, again, the spillover effect just has been happening since then.
Wow. So it's like the success stories that lead to the acceptance of it, and then kind of integrating it into culture.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting to see, considering, well, I mean, it's quite conservative as a society historically. But I love that. I love that technology is like breaking through a certain barrier as well.
Yeah, I mean, how do you get trends to start to take off, right? It's by building advocates. So if you can create advocacy amongst a slightly older generation by showing the positive side and the benefits of having this new channel to meet people, and I frequently say this to... okay, wait, no, that's a controversial opinion. I shouldn't say that about comparing dating apps to matchmakers, because they're kind of the same like format, but I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
So post-COVID, it didn't end there. It didn't stop there, because people were also hit with the loneliness pandemic, as like we often refer to it as, because you've been cooped up for so long. You've been in your houses. You didn't really know how to interact in the real world, and then you also have to take into consideration the generation of incoming daters, you know, so people who had just turned 18 maybe, and then they were like, they didn't get the chance to live that full experience out from the ages of 18 to 20, 21, so they're trying to figure out how all of this works, and then you're hit with the loneliness pandemic. So in those moments, I guess dating apps as well as other social media platforms did kind of help to like rebuild some of that interaction in society. And then of course now, sitting in 2024, I think everything is absolutely back to normal. People don't even want to date online anymore. They just want to be out there. They want to be putting themselves out there. So it's been quite an interesting graph, I want to say, of how people have
evolved.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds interesting.
Definitely. And I feel like with online dating, a lot of the time, because we have like these online personas that are larger than life a lot of the time, or sometimes it's not 100% authentic to who you are. And you know, with that comes a lot of challenges when you're actually trying to meet people, and pressures, especially when you're putting yourself out there. So how do you think that, you know, when people are putting themselves out there, they're genuinely presenting their true selves?
I feel like when you're putting together a dating app profile or a social media profile, you're pretty much being handed a template to present the best, most glossed up version, most interesting, funniest version of yourself, right? And no one can really check that. The most the apps can do is present like safety features and check if your profile is verified and if you are being who you are and you're not catfishing. But beyond that, the content you can't really like have a say on. So you just want to trust in people and hope that they're presenting the most authentic version of themselves to you. And I think that's something that you will eventually siphon out, like filter out, once you do have a phone call with them, like an IRL meeting with them. You do, like, people who've been using dating apps for a while know kind of how to sift through the nonsense, sift through the noise. So your online persona, I just feel like people have the freedom these days. You can get ChatGPT to write your bio. There's nothing you can really do about it other than just have trust and have really good perception and really good like abilities to just weed through all of that.
But doesn't that lead to like personality catfishing? So I may not necessarily be like catfishing myself, but I low-key am. How do you feel about that?
I have seen some personality catfishing occur. It hasn't been the nicest experience. And then stuff like that leads to like ghosting and everything. And apps these days are like really trying to combat some of that with the introduction of like features of like having limited matches that you can speak to at once, just so that you're not like speaking to the whole world and, you know, like presenting this inauthentic version of yourself to hordes of people. So like apps are doing their bit, you know, as far as they can, but it's stuff like that. And I do hope that eventually it does. And we have seen it taper off with age, like with the older audience set, because that lot, my lot.
I love how 29 is older, by the way, the older set.
Older millennial.
The older millennial set.
So I find a lot more people like my age and above being more clear about their dating intentions and expectations. So you automatically kind of stay away from that pool of people who aren't presenting this very authentic version of themselves online.
My question is, how do you weed out the personality catfishing? Like, how soon do you know, like, this person is like not actually what I signed up to?
I'm a Virgo, so I just know.
My God, I could totally tell that you were an earth sign as well, by the way.
As well?
I'm a Taurus. Oh, so I was like, that. I could totally tell because...
We were actually just talking about how earth signs dating earth signs is a terrible idea.
Oh,
because apparently you see like what you kind of dislike in other people's personalities as a reflection of yours. So you can kind of spot those characteristics and traits right away. This is literally our breakfast discussion.
Literally, like not even joking. I was like, every time I date a Virgo or a Capricorn, like there are things about myself that like maybe I'm like too high strung in certain ways or like crazy organized, as you know.
Can we be friends though? Can earth signs be friends?
Yeah, I mean, okay, they cool. can be.
Asking for,
are we allowed to be friends? Of course, but it's more like the dating, because it's like, do you want someone who is as like intense in that way
high-strung
as you?
High-strung as you, for sure.
Or like, do you want something more chill? And I'm like, I'm still like, don't know.
I'm an Aquarius, so I can't relate to any of this, but I thought it was funny. Yeah. And I thought it was an interesting observation for sure.
I need to join these breakfast discussions.
Yeah, literally.
I have a lot to add.
But no, back to spotting the inauthentic ones. Like, how soon do you know as a Virgo?
I feel like it's just in the way they respond to certain prompts on their profile or certain things or certain images. Like, you just have like an automatic sense of it. I don't know how to describe it. It's like a spidey sense. It's like a sixth sense, you know? And if that spidey sense doesn't kick in that first glance, having somewhat of a chat with them will kind of like help push that through.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, especially when people have the like, I must have an outside photo, or if they have a dog, the dog's got to make it on there.
The dog's always got to make it on there, though.
I mean, that's because
these trends keep changing. So what's hot this week, I don't know if it'll be hot by the time you release this episode, but what's currently hot is putting your Uber rating in your bio.
Oh my
God. Whether that's like your social media app bio or like your dating app bio, like that's like a thing that people do these days. So like stuff like this just keeps like moving and shifting, and like there are two types of people. You're either like hyperactive and you like update your pictures every week and you like change your like bios and like your prompts to keep it like relevant, or you're just the more laid back kind. You don't change it for months on end, and if it works, it works. So there's like on the spectrum, there's multiple different types of users, but these are the two main personality types, I would say.
I mean, we're having this a little bit in terms of marketing, right? Like when we look at it from a digital marketing sense, one of the key things is that because of TikTok, which we have there, which you don't have here, but even with Reels, I mean, you'll notice that there's like a trending audio, and then 2 weeks later, it's like, what was that again? Like, did it even exist? Yeah. I don't even remember. And things move really quickly. So I think it's so interesting to see that that social trend is moving on to dating apps as well. And people literally are like updating every week. And the Uber rating thing is hilarious because ours would be trash.
No, I would literally have like no matches. Not because I do anything wrong, but because when you take the dogs with you,
they don't like that.
Yeah, they're like,
they don't like that.
No,
I don't know why. I have a bad Uber rating as well.
Maybe there's something in the air.
Is it a women thing? Should we like?
Maybe. It's possible. Okay, apart from that, I love that Uber rating thing. Any others? Any other interesting ones that you spotted?
I mean, the one that's just really hot right now and is kind of dying out is the I'm looking for a man in finance.
6'5", blue eyes.
That is literally like my favorite audio right now in life. Like, I think how many times did I play it before we...
Too much.
Like, all the time.
I love all the spin-offs of it. Like, my current favorite was this one I saw, which is I'm looking for a fourth in paddle, you know, because like... How, I don't know if you guys play, but like finding that fourth person to play with is always just like a thing. And then different friends have made versions of like, I'm looking for a girl who deadlifts. And there's just so much creativity. I love it. Like, I'm just like a sucker for the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, internet culture is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like our favorite thing to talk about.
Yeah.
I literally think we could do like 6 episodes on that.
Mm-hmm. Of course, just keeping a pulse on, I think the 4 main things that inform trends are music, film, sport. Yeah. And the fourth one, there's a fourth one, which I will remember.
Music, film, sport. Interesting.
Yeah.
Sport is a really big thing, isn't it?
It's humongous. And you see a lot of global sporting giants kind of tapping into Indian fan bases. Like yesterday, so the Euros are on right now. And I saw the FIFA World Cup page posting a picture of Ronaldo with like an Indian caption, like an Indian joke, which I thought was hilarious. It got such high engagement. Similarly, like in the past, like Man City, they've like used like trending real audio in India and stuff. And I just found it like really cool. I love this cross-pollination and the importance being given to Indian sports fans because you realize it's a huge market here. And I love how it's growing.
It's really interesting. It really is. I was gonna also ask you a question about when it comes to looking at marketing trends. So we've looked at the influences, we've looked at it being hyper-localized, we've looked at how a big company incorporates hyper-localization. A lot of that requires creativity. And I think we are all on the same page that it's all like super creative, but we also have AI now.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I feel like some things like ChatGPT, which are immensely useful, are kind of reducing that creative output. How do you think you are tackling that?
AI hasn't crept into the creative part of marketing as yet. It has helped inform decision-making so much. Because of AI, we're able to sharp target our media plan so much more because you get like more data, more insights, and everything is just a lot more cohorted, I wanna say. Which opens up new platforms for us to use. But it hasn't crept into the creative side as yet, as a marketer. Like on the consumer side of things, like AI is in your everyday life and you encounter it so many times a day without you even realizing, from like chatbots to that email that shows up in your inbox saying, hey, left something in your cart, or like, hey, do you want 10% off on this thing you just looked at? But it hasn't crept into the creative part of marketing as yet, I would say. We still rely a lot on our internal briefs, our creative partners, our own information and decisions about like talent or influencers or CRM or like experiential and stuff. There's still a lot of different channels of marketing and press and everything where AI hasn't seen too much footing. That being said, you can still use a bit of it to help this. So like you can dig deeper into like a particular talent's like insights, you know, and like see whether they're the best fit for you to like target a particular region, for example, you know, when you want to do like regional marketing. So you can use some of that, but I feel like the creativity still stands. Like it's 2024 and I haven't seen that taking a hit as yet.
Great.
Which is, no. Let's see, I hope it continues that way.
It's really promising to see that, especially when you are looking at things so regionally focused as well, because at least there's like some way to kind of gather the data and make sense of it, because sometimes when you're working with these things, you just have data coming out of everywhere and you don't know what to do. But speaking of numbers,
she got so her eyes, I know, her eyes lit up.
Speaking of numbers, where is this going?
Never know with me. But obviously, like, when it comes to, you know, the online dating market in India, it's worth millions. I mean, what
hundreds
has,
of millions,
literally hundreds of millions. What do you feel has actually fueled that growth? So, like, has it been cultural or?
There's so many parts to it. Let me see if I can tackle like the top few that I think have fueled the growth. Top of that list, I mean, India has such a service, such a huge serviceable, addressable market, right? Like, just because of the population, and it's just a byproduct of the population. And from that serviceable, addressable market, there's also a huge, so you like chalk it down further, there's still a really big serviceable, obtainable market. And then you filter that down further to say the 18 to 35 year olds, which is, I want to say, our primary audience segment. So within that itself, I want to say like in 2022, there were about 600 million people between the ages of 18 to 35. And then you filter that down further into your top, like your metro cities and then some of your tier two markets, which are a huge part of what has fueled this growth. You still have this huge pool of people, right? And so coupled with, so you've got this population that you can speak to, coupled with the fact that there's been so much more product education, there's been so much more content around the topic, the fact that all dating apps in India offer a freemium model, so you get a taste of the app for free, and then the premium features in order to make your experience on the app better and to guarantee you more success come at a price. So all of that eventually contributes to revenue. And then there's also been a rise in regional apps. So of course, you know, India is made up of so many different regions and cultures and everything. So there's been, like, for example, some really interesting South Indian apps that specifically speak to that that region, and then those, they're just hitting huge numbers in terms of users. So all of that together, plus like there's just so many different things that have contributed to growth, but I want to say these would be like my top reads.
No, I love that.
Do you do you have a point of view on it?
I genuinely feel like the fact that they're more targeted ones is the most interesting thing for me, because I feel like even regionally here, like, people are looking for different things. And I feel like that's the same in so many different countries, because you know, the culture differs a little bit, and the way that you want to be spoken to does as well. Because I feel like with dating apps, often the hardest thing is like, how do you want someone to approach you, or how should you approach them without them feeling, you know, uncomfortable or seeing you as like an interesting prospect for them, for sure.
For sure, and you just want to find that common ground to align over, you know, I think that's step one.
Astrology, always.
That's the commonality that you need. Astrology, height, interests. There's even this dating app that's just centered around memes, right? So I don't know if you've heard of that one.
Wow. No, I have not. I mean, that one sounds like so much fun.
Well, I mean, we all have those friends that we just exclusively send memes to. Like, I was thinking about it the other
day. Base of that friendship, right? It's just memes.
It's just memes. There's no conversation. There's just memes. I have one that's so niche. It's just weird animals and raccoon memes. Because a raccoon meme is my favorite. But now I've converted their algorithm too. So now they just have strange animals, and I love that.
No, I love the strange animal memes too. I was going to say mine are obviously very much around like either sister memes, because they're hilarious and very relatable. Like, for example, it's like when one of you is going on a trip and the other one like has to plan everything and the younger sister is just standing there like, that literally sounds like our trips most of the time.
Yeah,
except
I mean,
for
I'm not. I would like to go on a holiday and do nothing.
And you have someone doing all the work.
Yeah.
All the legwork. I love that.
But I also want to go there and do none of the legwork. Like that has to happen.
There has to
be
some perks of being the guinea pig child. So I feel you.
Literally, no, I totally get that. But also, when it comes to, I guess, the way that individuals want to date now. I mean, earlier we touched on offline dating a little bit. I mean, how do you feel like that's being combated by apps? Like, is there a rise in events, or is it more like features that are helping to make it seem like the best choice?
It's a mix of both, of events, of features, of the phase of life you're in. Because you can't group the entire segment together, right? Like, what someone who's just getting into dating apps would feel about it would be different from someone who's a seasoned user. We try to support every stage of the dating process by, like, you know, planning singles mixers and, you know, helping the consumer find interesting ways to connect in their city and connect with people, or even doing certain partnerships that help like gratify you to like go on an IRL date. So we do some of that work as well, while the core product still remains like online dating. And then how you choose to take your connection offline is like entirely up to you. So the events are there. There's some amount of like experiential, there's like music festival sponsorships, you know, there's just like a few different ways in which we do show up. But I would still say that would be like 5% of our focus. The key focus is still making sure that initial connection, that strong connection, is established online before you do take it offline. But then there's also really fun features like various travel modes, which most apps kind of offer now, which are to support you, like meet someone interesting when you go to like a new city or country. So again, like it's just a lot of like coming together, and you can make the best use of what you want at that given time, I would say.
I think that's so interesting. It's so cool. I love that, you know, this world has become so flexible as well. Like, yeah, it's got so many added on elements that just make you feel like you fit in. And I feel like that with social media marketing in general anyway. I mean, let's talk about you as the influencer for a second.
I don't think I'm an influencer at all. I'm like a full-on corporate girly.
Well, I mean, I think I would still classify you as an influencer.
That's really sweet.
Because at the end of the day, you do have a big influence on, you know, your region, your world, your market. I mean, after all, your journey began with being an advocate. And so I wanted to ask you, okay, in your world of being a non-influencer, tell me a little bit about how you de-influence then.
I don't think I'm like a public de-influencer, because I don't talk about a lot of stuff online. I don't advocate for a lot of things online anyway. It's just me and my like personality going to the gym. It's pretty 2D. There's not much to it, because I don't put a lot of myself out there. But what I feel like where I do de-influence is I'm really unfiltered, unbiased with my thoughts amongst like communities and societies and like socially. So I say it like it is, you know. Mm-hmm. Even like at work, I think one of our values is honesty, and I'm always like, that's me.
Holding the flag. But I love that. I think that's really cool. I also love the idea of just like being like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So like even the story that you tell, the narrative that you portray, it is you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why she's a personality scout.
Literally, personality scout. I like that.
That's literally the main reason why. Because she was like, I'm being real and you're not. So bye.
Yeah.
Which I love, by the
way. So I don't know if that answers your de-influencing question, but I just feel like some of us are just natural de-influencers. You know, I'm like a natural pessimist. So I'll
it's the Virgo.
Yeah, exactly. You get it.
But yeah, I love that. The natural de-influencer. That might be the name of the episode. The natural de-influencer.
I love that. No, I think that should totally be her episode title because it's so true. Like, even the way that you communicate about, like, different industries and things like that, like, there's no fluff.
Yeah.
You're just getting straight into it, which we love because we're not fluffy.
No.
But that being said, I still feel like I have so much more to learn, so much more to be disproven, and then, like, hopefully I will continue and continue to be this version of myself, but like with more knowledge and more information, you know, as time passes.
Yeah, of course, of course. So seeing as you're very cutthroat with that, what is a memorable campaign for you then? Like, what has been an example of like a great campaign or a memorable campaign?
So I don't know about memorable campaign, but I think overall, Skims are doing this wonderful always on effort. Like, they're just so topical with their choice of talent. Like, it's a pure, their focus clearly is on talent-led marketing and working with, like, the right key opinion leaders, people who are super topical, who are trending at that given point in time. So they're, whether it's, like, showing up before the NBA or whether it's showing up before the NFL and now with the Euros, like, that marketing team is just on it with their, like, choices and just having this consistent
reactivity.
I don't know if it's just reactivity because they do it well in advance as well, but just being on top of events in pop culture the whole year and planning their marketing accordingly, planning their products accordingly, you know, like with their like Christmas drop or like this athleisure drop and everything. Like, I really admire the marketing of Skims of late. Like, I just find it so cool.
I think that's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, same, literally obsessed. Like, I almost feel like with every campaign, it's so visually beautiful that it's like becoming the new magazine covers, in my opinion. Like, if you think about it, because of like who they pick, how they choose them, how it's shot, and it's just beautifully done. Like, the art direction is always
and
stunning.
It's so authentic, you know, at the end of the day. It's so authentic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we love this. Like, I love to unpick the Kardashians' PR strategy all the time.
Yeah.
Because I love to see how they align drops, characters, their brands, themselves.
How they cross-pollinate each other's products. Like, it's a whole machine, you know? It's so cool.
It is. Like, literally, when I teach PR, I always say, like, just think like Kris Jenner and you'll be fine.
That's the way you gotta do it. It's really interesting. But I would say, you know, it is demanding. You work in marketing. What you've just described is, it's a real task. Like, to get it that right, to get it that accurately. So, considering the challenges in marketing that you face, how do you maintain your work-life balance?
This is actually something that like I've been quite good at and I pride myself on.
Please tell us.
And I know a lot of my colleagues used to use me as an example, so I used to be like, oh, thank you. Because it just, it comes from, to start with, I live away from home. So like family's back home in Bangalore. I live in Bombay. So I don't have a lot of like family commitments here. So that frees up a bit of my time as compared to people who like live in the city and are from here and have their families here. And then other than that, I have a pretty strict schedule. So I think everything revolves around my movement activity for that day. So like whether it's like going to the gym or playing a sport, like that part is set in stone. So that's fixed and everything kind of like forms around it. That being said, global company, we have calls that go to like 10:30 in the night. So that gives you the flexibility to maybe like start a bit later, you know, and do your other stuff in the morning. And then I have a bunch of other creative interests, like I love hosting and everything. So I save that for like the weekends, or if I need to create like a bit of content or something, that's the weekend's problem. So on weekdays, it's pretty like fixed for like work, calls, workout, and it just, that's how it is, you know. And a bit of socializing if there's time.
Amazing. I think that's really cool.
I think it's really interesting that you're able to do that because I feel like people have this perception of like corporate girlies being like, even though you're a de-influencer as well, being like so strict about like their schedules and not even having a second from themselves. So I think it's really nice to hear that like it is like something that you always will do.
I actually disagree this year, because this year has been the year of like the sleepy girl. So even corporate girlies have taken a step back. If you see a lot of like trends and content and stuff, and they're really, like we have Focus Fridays at work and stuff, which is so fun.
Yeah.
But they've taken a step back and they're taking more agency over their time and being proud of it. You know, like nobody's really proud of the grind or proud of the like this hustle culture anymore. You're still hustling, but you're like, you're the thing to be proud of is now having more agency over your time.
Absolutely. Girl boss era is done.
Yeah, it so is.
I really think it's so over for sure.
Yeah, I think I even unfollowed that girl boss page on Instagram.
Well, there you go.
Oh,
big moves. She's making a statement.
Just gonna de-influence that era.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But no, when it comes to beauty, obviously, because that is what we love the most. And since we've been talking about trends, I just wanted to know, like at the moment, what is your favorite beauty trend right now?
I feel like my favorite beauty trend will and always be skincare, so you don't need to wear a lot of makeup, like always. Okay, so the basis of it, the most important parts are a vitamin C serum, a hydrating moisturizer, and sunscreen in the morning, and at night, like a pore refining cream, and another serum, and then like just like a night cream, and like an under eye, like a roller. And collagen tablets, which I've just started taking because you want tight skin when you're hitting 30. So yeah, skincare always will be my favorite beauty trend. That being said, I am loving this whole, like the year that dewy makeup's having, you know, like just like really lightweight foundation, like illuminated cheeks, you know, and like highlighter, brushing your brows, defined brows, and just like a dash of lip tint and then gloss over it, or like some sort of like glossy kind of product. Like I love that look. I think I'm doing it right now
as
well.
Yeah, you totally are. Also, I have to say, like even in real life, you have zero pores. Like zero pores.
Shout out to my dermat.
Yeah, your skin really does look amazing.
You're so sweet.
But I wanna know about your beauty hacks now. So, what is your best beauty hack?
Something that I've been doing a lot of late, and I think it really like just makes you go from 5 to 10% is when, if I'm stepping out like without makeup or like just stepping out to go to the gym, like it's barefaced for sure. But of late, I've just been like taking like a brush and brushing my brows and making them a little bit more defined, and then a bit of lip tint, and then the excess, just like dabbing it on my cheeks, and then I'm just suddenly looking like a brighter person at the gym, which I've been loving, because like when you look good working out, you just get motivated to like go harder, right? So so that's a beauty hack that I've been loving of late.
I love that so much, and the effort for the gym, even though it's minimal, it definitely
it takes
does
like
make a difference.
30 seconds. It's literally just like brush and dab dab.
But that brush dab dab
makes all the
makes
difference.
You fab.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the one.
Yes.
So I actually have a question for you, because like obviously we talk about all the different eras that are happening in everything right now. Have you ever had something that you've done beauty related that has been like the biggest regret for you?
I don't think anything was a regret. They were all just learnings. They were just like phases. I also, like, I'm South Indian, so I grew up in a household where my mom didn't let me cut my hair for so long, so I had, like, really, like, long, pretty hair, didn't let me color it, so no color goof-ups were made, you know, it was just really, like, everything was just very pretty and nice. But I guess some of the beauty things that I've learned from would be, you know, like, if you've tanned a bit using the same shade of foundation and not like switching it up, like I think that was a nightmare, and then looking like a ghost in pictures. And then doing like, I remember when I was younger and used to do like heavy eyes with heavy lips, which is just like a big no, or even like putting blush in the wrong parts of your cheeks. It was all fun. Like when you look back on it, you're like, it's okay, I learned from that. So it's okay. I don't think anything was a regret.
Definitely not. And we've all.
What's yours?
Oh my gosh.
I have so many.
I have so many as well.
And top like, one.
Literally, ooh, a top one, I would say, would probably be when I like cut my hair too short. So I like had like, instead of going for a lob, like a bob.
You cut it yourself? Oh no, you got it cut.
I mean, that has happened before. but disclosure, I was like 2 years old.
Three.
Everybody does that.
I had a Barbie that would like grow hair back, and then I just went whoop to my own hair, and I was like, oh, it's gonna grow. No, it didn't.
It was right front as well. Oh, it was actually hilarious.
I had a bowl haircut, but I wasn't even talking about that time. I think I like somehow got the hairdresser at some point when I was like 14 or 13 years old to like recreate it in a vibe, but it was just like the worst.
What haircut is this?
This is like when we went to Beijing, that haircut.
I don't remember that.
Show you pictures later.
Trishna has no beauty regrets. She's just like, I've been born perfect.
No, I definitely have not. It's called Let's Get Ugly for a reason. Like, I definitely have not. I would say one of my biggest beauty regrets would probably be the colored, no, it was realizing that SPF in foundation flashes back in camera. So when you take pictures with flash on at a nightclub, you literally look patchy. And for me, that was like, I have some really hideous pictures of like my concealer being like really like overly defined and like looking like triangles on my face. And yeah, that was
foundation with built-in SPF?
Yes, and concealer with built-in SPF, they flash back. So when you take pictures with flash, you risk that patchy, bright, specific locations. Because I also like don't put makeup everywhere. So yeah. I'll like spot, like I'll do like, you know, concealer just where I need it. But then that just ends where you being. Need it is going to be there.
Damn, I was today years old when I learned this.
Yeah, okay. So that's my biggest beauty regret for now. Yeah.
I feel like we have so many.
I have so many.
Because we literally like experiment so much and like do all this like different stuff all the time that I feel like we're also constantly learning, and it's fun and it's funny to look back on those moments for sure.
I don't know if it's so funny.
As long as there's no pictorial evidence, we're good.
There always is, though. There always is, and it's always like when you were like not feeling it.
Yeah.
Always is.
Yeah.
But if there weren't no pictures, I wouldn't have learned that. So
it's all about the learning.
Oh my God, for sure. But to close the episode, we actually were going to do a little card reading for you.
And
yes.
Are you going to tell me what beauty mistakes I'm making next or something?
Yes. I mean, you look flawless today, so absolutely
you're so
nothing. But basically, with our deck, they are all beauty themed, of course.
That's so cool.
And with these cards, we have little QR codes in as well with an audio guide, because you can like listen to the message. It will be my voice that you will be listening to. But it also kind of gives you direction and inspiration into what to go into next. But
Okay.
Beauty related.
That's so cool. I'm excited to try this.
Oh my gosh, yes. No, there is one for you as well. But I will do a reading for your message for the day to help you get started.
Okay, cool.
Amazing. So you always have to knock them to get rid of stagnant energy.
Okay.
Now, what is the message of the day for Elixir? Feeling this one, stay neutral.
Am I today? I think I am. No.
I mean, you are pretty neutral, but in terms
of. Oh, you mean stay neutral in like a larger. Okay.
In a larger sense. So, this is my card for you for today.
Okay.
So, just kind of thinking about locking what we're
saying. Locking that in. I have not been neutral at all for the last hour. So, thanks for telling me now.
I know I should have done it at the start. Yeah. No. But just like think about, you know, any movements that you make or things like that. Like, think things through. Don't be too rash today is my advice to you.
Okay. Okay, it actually applies to the kind of day I'm going to have, so thank you.
You are so welcome, but thank you so much for joining
this
us.
This is so fun.
It was so fun. I'm so happy.
I can't wait to do the offline version of this with you guys soon.
Yeah, yes.
The more unfiltered one.
The more unfiltered one, the one where you don't get. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
today,
for having me. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. Love it.
Yay.